In the Ches, in Likutei Moran Tanina, and before we begin, we might have said this before, but this chapter of Likutei Moran certainly is one of the most outstanding chapters of Torah that Rabbeinu Zal ever said to his lifetime, and that he left over for humanity. Now, we've mentioned before in previous Shurim that one of the differences between Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal, and between the concept of a rabbi and the concept of a student, is that Rabbeinu Zal, who represents the Rebbe, Rabbeinu Zal, the majority of his teachings are geared towards lifting a person up, meaning showing a person that where you're at is no good, where you're at is very low, and showing you what's up there, making you aware of what's up there and how much higher you have to go and everything, and advising you, get off your dust and get up there. Start working and push yourself, pull yourself up there. That's the avodah of the Rebbe, as Rabbeinu Zal presents in Torah Vav and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, that the Rebbe is the concept of im esak shamayim shamato, reaching up to the heavens, and even if you feel you're in the heavens already, showing you that you've got miles and miles to go. The avodah of the Talmud, the student, his mission is, in speaking to people or in speaking to the world, to give chizuk, his chaskus, to be able to take a person who's very, very low and convince him that you're not low enough yet where you can't come back. You're not low enough yet where you're not very, very high. I can show you, I can prove to you that wherever you're at, you're still in the ring and you have so much to be happy about and so much to be thankful for, and therefore stick around, hang in there, you're going to see that everything's going to be okay. This is usually the distinction between the Rebbe and the Talmud, Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal. This is the underlying concept and feeling behind Rabbeinu Zal's teachings versus Rav Nosson Zal's teachings. And this is not something that I would feel qualified to say on my own, because who knows if we're not a good enough bookie in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings or Rav Nosson Zal's teachings. This is something that I've heard from Rebbe Zal, from all the Gedolei Breslov. When they talk about it, they represent it in this way, and I believe it's also brought in the Koyach Ve'or, when the Bir Likutei Zal talks about Rabbeinu Zal's forum and Rav Nosson Zal's teachings, they talk about him in this light. And for that reason, in fact, the Bir Likutei Zal brings that, therefore, it's known among Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim that they stressed Rav Nosson Zal's forum nowadays more than Rabbeinu Zal's forum, because of the fact that nowadays, as we're getting closer and closer to the time of the coming of Moshiach, we are very low and we are very fallen, and therefore we need the chizuk. In other words, we need somebody to hold us in the ring before we can start contemplating advancement and going up and everything. However, as is explained in all these Sforim Hakdashim, whenever we talk about anything in Ruchnius, whether we're talking about different attributes of Hashem or anything like that, there's never a completely fine line where there's A and there's B and never the twain shall meet. It's just the opposite. Even though we know that there's a concept of A and B, and they represent two opposite poles, the A always has some of B in it, and the B always has some of A in it. The Zohar is not just the Zohar. The Zohar has a Zohar and a Keva in him. The Nenukva is not just the Nukva. It's Zohar and a Keva inside of it, and its departments. Chesed Shebechesed, Gevura Shebechesed. What do you mean Gevura Shebechesed? The black or the white? You know, it's a clear contradiction. It's not contradictory. When you're talking about Kiddusha, A is B and B is A. It's all one. It's all part of the super one, which is Hashem Echad Ushma Echad. That's where it all originates, and since in its origin it's all one, you can obviously find parts of everything within everything. So too, you will find in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, in the Rebbe's teachings, you will find at times fantastic chizuk, fantastic is chaskus, and you will find in the teachings of the Talmud, Rav Nosson Zal, or Bechlal Talmidim, you'll find his hisairus, at times reprimand and pushing you to go higher and higher. This chapter that in Likutei Moran that we're about to learn, Torah Mem Ches, is known as the super chapter in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses the topic of his chaskus in Avodas Hashem. What it means, the real, really presenting well the concept of hang in there in terms of Avodas Hashem, and I think each one of us should feel incredibly privileged to be learning this Torah specifically now, because this is one of the highlights of Chassidei Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kishe'odom nichnas b'avodas Hashem," when a person begins to enter into serving Hashem, we're obviously referring to a person who either was very far from Hashem and is making his first beginning, or referring to a person who could be on any level of a relationship with Hashem and he's attempting to make a new beginning because it's a new day or a new week or a new month, or for whatever excuse a person would feel that it's time to make a new beginning. Kishe'odom nichnas b'avodas Hashem, when a person is entering into serving Hashem, azai haderech shemarin loy hisrachkus. The norm is that heaven shows him hisrachkus. Heaven makes it appear as if they're pushing him away. Hashem makes it appear as if the person is being rejected by Hashem. V'nidmeloi, and it appears to him, shemarchikin oisei milamalo, that they're pushing him away from above. V'ein manichin oisei klal, likoneis lavoides Hashem. And they're not allowing him whatsoever to be able to enter into Avodas Hashem. They're making it impossible for the person to come into Avodas Hashem. Ube'emes, Rabbeinu Zal says, however, the reality is, you want to know what Hashem really feels, kol ha'hisrachkus hurak kuloi hiskarvus. Now note, every adjective, every word in this Torah is extremely, extremely critical. Rabbeinu Zal inserts the word rak. Rak means only, means he's limiting it. It's nothing else, period. Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know, in truth, all of this rejection is only completely the opposite. It's only completely bringing you close. Elamai, why, if they're looking to bring me close, why are they rejecting me? There's a whole Torah to say about that. There's a lot to discuss about that, which hopefully we'll discuss in the course of this Torah. But Rabbeinu Zal is first establishing the facts. You take it from somebody who knows Hashem very well. If it appears to be this, Rabbeinu Zal is telling you it's not what it appears to be. It's the exact opposite. And it's only the opposite, period. V'tzorich hischaskus godol ma'oid ma'oid livli lipoil bedatoi chas v'shalom kisheroye sha'ivrim kamo v'kamo yomim v'shonim. A person has to work, has to strengthen himself and support himself very, very much, not to allow himself to fall in his own mind, to weaken in his own mind, when he sees that there have already passed many, many days and many years, where the person is struggling very, very hard, putting tremendous effort b'shvil avodas Hashem, in order to serve Hashem, in order to try to get close to Hashem, va'adayin hu rochoik ma'oid, and the person observes that he's still very, very far from Hashem, v'loy hischil klal lichnois l'shari hakdusha, and he hasn't begun whatsoever to enter into the gates of Kiddusha, ki roye atzmoi, because the person sees inside of him, he sees himself, he looks at himself, and he observes, shehu mole adayin uviois v'gashmias v'hirhurim u'bilbulim gedolim, he sees that he's still very grub, very thick, and very physical-minded, and he's constantly filled with bad thoughts, or outside thoughts, or confusion, or problems, or mental anguish. V'chol ma shehu roitzel asayis b'avodas Hashem eze davar shebikdusha, and any time he attempts whatsoever to do any item of serving of Hashem, any item of holiness, ein menichen oisoi, Hashem appears not to be allowing him to succeed. V'nidmeloi, and it appears to him, ki'ilu ein Hashem yisporach mistakel olav klal, as if Hashem is not looking at him whatsoever, Hashem is ignoring him totally, 100%. The ein reitze klal ba'avodasoi, and Hashem is not interested at all whatsoever in his service. Why does it appear to this to, like this to this person? Machma shehuroya, because he sees shehu tzayek b'chol pam, that he's constantly screaming, crying out to Hashem, umischanein, and he's begging, umisnape lefon of yisporach, and he's throwing himself on the ground before Hashem, humbling himself, shiya azreu b'avoidosay, begging Hashem to help him to get to serve Hashem. The afal pikein, and nevertheless, adayin hu rochoik ma'oid ma'oid, he's still very, very far from Hashem. Al kein nidmeloi ki'ilu ein Hashem yisporach mistakel olav klal, and therefore it appears to him, it seems to be obvious to him, that it must be that Hashem is ignoring me. If I see that I'm putting in so much effort and nothing whatsoever seems to be changing, nothing seems to be happening, obviously, they must be ignoring me. They're not noticing me at all whatsoever. And it appears to him that Hashem doesn't want him at all whatsoever. Regarding all of this and everything related to this, the person needs tremendous strengthening to strengthen himself very, very much, and to ignore this completely. Now note, anybody who thinks they have any affiliation with Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, these are orders. This is a tzivui. This is a command. I'm telling you that this and this is going to happen. He doesn't say this might happen. Haderech, the norm. This is normal. This is not a chiddush. If this doesn't happen, you know that there's something strange. If this does happen, you've been alerted. You're being made totally aware that this is normal. And I'm ordering you not to make the mistake of thinking that it's this and this and this, but on the contrary, I want you to be very strong, and I want you to ignore this completely. Ignore it means that you're not permitted to think and to try to figure out and to calculate. Zero. That's not what he said here. He said ignore. There are times where Rabbeinu Zal says, I want you to be delve into this, and I want you to think about it. I want you to go to a tzaddik for an etzah. Here, Rabbeinu Zal's instructions are, livli lehistakel klal. Ignore this completely. Ki be'emes, because the reality is, the fact is, kol ha'hisrachkus hurak kuloi hiskarvus kanal. All the pushing away is really bringing close. Now, we once mentioned that the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's a pasuk where Hashem says, Shalom, Shalom, larochoik vilakoroiv. Hashem says, I extend a greeting of peace, peace, to the one who is far and to the one who is close. The Zohar HaKadosh says, you'll observe that the word lakoroiv is bigimatria, the word larochoik is exactly bigimatria vilakoroiv. The term that's referring to the one that's far is exactly identical to the one that's close. The Zohar HaKadosh mentions this related to its own reasons. We can definitely say 100% that there's no question at all that that also relates to this. That you should know that what appears to be hisrachkus is identical to hiskarvus. It's the same thing. It could look to you like this, and this has the same gematria as this, because it's so close. It's so identical that you should know that at times it's going to look like it's this, because this has the exact same format of this. Because there are psukim to show that the toichocha, the reprimand of Hashem, the punishment of Hashem, is actually a form of ava. As Rabbeinu Zal brings in Torah Dalet, in Likutei Moharan Chelek Aleph, Es Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach. When Hashem loves somebody, He deals with him harshly at times. When? At the beginning. The pasuk says, Rak eschem yodati mikol ha'amim, al kein efkoid aleichem avinaseichem. Because I have selected you as my nation, therefore, you're going to have some rough times, period. So the Torah is telling you clearly that the hisrachkus is actually hiskarvus. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'chol hanal ovar al kol hatzadikim. And everything that we just described here, all the tzaddikim went through this. Note again, he doesn't say some tzaddikim. All the tzaddikim experienced this. kasher shomanu mipihem beferish, as we heard from their own mouths. There were times when they themselves said it very, very clearly. Yaakov Avinu says in this week's parsha, im lovon garti, I lived with lovon harasha. And Rashi HaKodesh and the Gemara and all the Mephoshim say, you can't imagine what he went through with lovon. How much Yaakov Avinu was put through, how much it appeared to him that Hashem was pushing him away. He went to look to find his correct zivug, and he poured out thousands of hours of tefillos, and then, boop, they gave him a bum slip, and he got the wrong one. And it's because of that wrong one that such a churban came out, that Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, that the whole split in the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, between Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and all the destruction, all the Golias, Yerovam ben Avot, everything stemmed from this switch of Rachel for Leah. How if Yaakov Avinu would have had relations with Rachel first, and Yosef HaTzadik would have been the genuine Bechor, then they wouldn't have sold him as a slave. All the billions of things wouldn't have happened, wouldn't have been caused. Who did this happen to? Yaakov Avinu. How much of an effort was he putting into coming close to Hashem? Couldn't possibly do more. And yet, they made it appear to him as if he was going nowhere. He was on a treadmill, running, 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 getting nowhere, accomplishing nothing at all whatsoever. Shenit melehem, these tzaddikim related, shehashem yisporach ein mistakel, that it appeared to them as if Hashem was ignoring, shehashem yisporach ein mistakel upoin aleim klal. It appeared to them as if Hashem wasn't looking at them whatsoever, was completely disinterested with them. Mach mashero, because they observed, shezez man rav, shehem avakshim v'yegim, that it was a long time had passed in which they were seeking and working, v'oisim, and putting in tremendous effort, v'oivdem avodas Hashem, and going about serving Hashem to the best of their ability, and they still felt as if they were very, very far from Hashem, as if they hadn't covered any distance whatsoever. And had they not strengthened themselves tremendously, had they not encouraged themselves and given themselves all types of chizuk, levli lehistakil al zeh, to ignore all of this, hayu nishorim b'mekoymom harishoyim, they would not have advanced one iota in coming close to Hashem. They wouldn't have progressed a drop. V'loy hayu zeichem l'ma shezachu, and they certainly would not have achieved what they did achieve. V'haklal, Rabbeinu Zal says, the rule is, Ahuvi Ochi, my beloved brother. This is one of the outstanding places in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal uses this type of wording, addressing all of his students. He's not calling us his students, he's calling you my brother, my beloved brother. Chazak ve'ematz ma'oid, strengthen yourself very, very much. Ve'echoiz atzmecho b'chol ha'koichoiz lishoyer kayim b'avidoscha, and hang in there. Use all your power, all your strength to hang in and to remain steadfast with whatever you are doing. Va'al tochish v'al tistakel klal al kol hanal, and don't give any attention. Ignore all of this completely. Or anything like this. And if you are actually far from Hashem, and it appears to you that every single minute you're accruing hundreds, thousands, millions of averos, you're packing it in there just as fast as you possibly can, corresponding to this, you should know she'ish kozeh, that a person like that, shehu megusham kol kach, a person like you think you are, who's such a zhlub, who's such a megusham, who's so physical and so steeped in this world, kol tenua utenua, shehu menatek atzmoi ma'at ma'at min gashmiusoi, any tiny move that somebody like you makes to pull himself away from physicalness, and to turn towards Hashem, if you move one fraction of a degree towards coming close to Hashem, he gedayla v'yikora ma'oid ma'oid. It's extremely, very, very precious to Hashem. V'afilu nekuda ktana ma'oid, even the tiniest dot that the person moves towards Hashem, shehu netak mi gashmiusoi, that the person separates himself and pulls himself away from his gashmius, Elav Yisborach, and makes a move towards Hashem, who rots boze kamo vekamo alufim parsois ba'olam yisrael yonim. The person actually runs thousands of miles in the heavenly worlds in terms of accomplishment, kasher tovin heitev, as you should understand very, very well, min hamaise shel hatzadik shehizkaper olav ma'oid ha'atzvus, from the story that Rabbeinu Zal told at the end of the Sipurim Isis, at the end of the 13 major stories that comprise the Sipurim Isis that Rabbeinu Zal told, there are a few short stories that are presented there. One of the short stories is called the Maise Mitzadik Shehizkaper Olav Ma'oid Ha'atzvus, the story about a tzaddik who at one point in time started getting very, very, very depressed, and he started feeling himself falling to an incredible low. And suddenly he thought for a second, picturing Hashem as the center, the central point, the focal point of all of creation, and picturing ourselves as radii, radiuses, coming out from this center of the circle, the further you are away from the center, the longer a distance you are. In other words, when a person has a circle that's round, and there's a center to this circle, and there are radiuses going from the outside of the circle into the center, touching, the bigger that circle is, the longer a distance the radius is. Now, when a person is closer to the center of the circle, as the circle turns, as the wheel turns, as the circle turns, there's a smaller distance being covered. On the outside of the circle, depending on how big the circle is, the wheel could be moving a much larger distance, it's traveling a much larger distance than the part closer to the center. For example, we have a bicycle. You have a bicycle that has a center to it, it has a little circle in the center, a little wheel in the center of it, and then you have the outside, the tire of the bicycle, that's on the outside. Every time the centerpiece of that wheel turns, it travels, let's say, 3-4 inches in going around. On the outside, if you were to put your finger on the outside of the wheel and watch as that wheel makes a revolution, it goes around one time, it travels a couple of feet. You're traveling a distance of a couple of feet. So if we are to picture Hashem, Kaviyochel, as being the center, the Nekudas Hamerkaz, the central point of all of creation, and we picture ourselves as being situated on different points related to the center, the more a person considers himself as having moved away from Hashem, further and further from the distance, such a person, when there's the tiniest move, what would appear to be a tiny move on the center of the circle, close to that middle of the circle, on the outside, you could be traveling a much, much larger distance. The mushal that Rabbeinu Zal gives over there is, Kaviyocha, we picture Hashem as being by the outside part of this tire. We picture Hashem being way, way up there, and we're the Nekudas Hamerkaz. Each and every one of us is like a little point in the center of this circle. When we move, because of the fact that the Torah tells us that the reason for which Hashem made the whole creation was Bishvil Yisrael, that we, the Jews, are the central focal point of all of creation. So if we view it that way, then we become the center. And any move we make being in the center, depending on how long the radius extends from where we are at to where Hashem is, we could be making, if we're far enough away, and a move of an inch where we're at could affect this big wheel on the outside a distance of miles and miles. If you picture the distance of us from Hashem as being thousands of light years away, then the distance when we move an inch over here, if we represent the middle of the circle, the outside portion of the circle actually travels millions of miles. And it was when this tzaddik came to this realization, he suddenly started soaring. Rabbeinu Zal tells in that story, he took off like a rocket and he started flying and flying so high, and he drew himself into such a fantastic simcha. He gave himself an incredible ischaskus by coming to this realization that the further away a person is from Hashem, the tiniest move that he makes, a good move, he actually travels an incredibly greater distance
than a person who's close to Hashem who makes that same move. And with this, we could understand the logic behind why the Zohar HaKadosh says that when Yisroi came and said, Atoki Adati Kigodla Hashem Yikol Alikim, it made such a big splash in heaven. Why? Why is he better off than any Jew who did a mitzvah? Why is it that when a Russia does tshuva, it makes such a big splash? The answer is it's based on this concept of this wheel with the middle circle, the outside circle, and depending on how far you are away from Hashem, when you make a little move, you cause that outside wheel to travel an incredibly, incredibly large distance. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, if you'll study that story, you'll understand how that relates to the concept that we're discussing here. Kimuva etfleinu, as is brought at the end of the Sipurei Maisis. Va'al zeh yismach ma'oid. And this will make the person very, very happy. V'yichazek atzmoi besimcha tomid. And the person will be able to keep himself happy at all times, even when it would appear logically that he should feel bad because he realizes how far he is from Hashem. At the same time, he'll have a simcha knowing that because I'm at where I'm at, there's no question at all that if I change, it'll be noticed much, much more. And you see this even by Gashmias. You have a school, you have a teacher who has 30 kids in the class, and you get one guy who's the wise guy in the class, the murderer, the sadist, the troublemaker of the whole class. And this guy's doing all kinds of nasty things, and the teacher is suffering from him for a month. And then suddenly this guy has a bad dream one night or something, or his parents decide to take themselves to him one night, and he comes into school the next day, and instead of throwing 8 pieces of chalk at the teacher, he only throws 2 that day. And the teacher goes over to him after class and says to him, I want you to know that you were a very good boy today. And all the kids in the class are looking on. The ones that don't understand this, they're saying, what kind of stupidity? What, that's a good boy? If I would throw one piece of chalk, I'd be expelled. And they don't realize that it's because this student is where he's at, because of the place where he's at, for him to have done this is something that'll make a bigger splash in the teacher's eyes than if a good student would do 10 things good. This is the nature. The Gemara says always, Malchus of the Arak and Malchus of the Rekia, that if we want to know what goes on in Shemayim, you have to study life, study what goes on around you, because Kaviyochel Hashem has set things up in such a way in this world to give you an idea as to how Hashem runs the show in Shemayim. The answer is yes. In certain ways, the Gemara says, "B'mokim shebalei tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yichaylim lamoy." That in certain respects, the Baal Tshuva has a tremendous advantage. I've seen this with my own eyes. I saw from Rebbe Zal sometimes the attitude, the simcha that was shown, the hadras ponim, the ponim sechakos that was shown to a Baal Tshuva, somebody that was coming from a rough background, and he made a good move, it made a much bigger splash. But at the same time, we mention many times that the tzaddikim strive to be Baalei Tshuva. They themselves strive to constantly feel as if they're the furthest thing away from Hashem, and to behave in this manner, to consider themselves so low and humble so that they get to take advantage of this concept also, based on their anivus, based on their shivlus, that they make believe in their own minds as if they're so far from Hashem that the tiniest thing they do, Hashem should be so happy about. David HaMelech referred to himself as Tfila Lo'oni. He called himself an Oni. This was the greatest Oshir of the whole Klal Yisrael, the Melech, the Tzadik Emes. And he referred to himself as an Oni because he was mashpil himself so much. That's what made him so, so special to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki Atzvus Mazik Ma'oid Ma'oid. Because Atzvus, sadness, depression, causes very, very great damage, destruction. Vida, and you should know, and we reiterate that a rule in Rabbeinu Zal's forum is that whenever Rabbeinu Zal uses the term vida, it means that this statement is coming from the Olam HaAtzilus. It's coming from the highest of the heavenly worlds. Rabbeinu Zal says vida, and you should know, shetekif kishe'odom roitze lichnois ba'avodosu yisporach. As soon as a person decides that they want to start coming close to Hashem, Azai taketh he aveira gedoila kisheyeshloi atzvus chas v'shalom. Immediately, it becomes a very, very major sin if he allows himself to be depressed at all whatsoever, depressed or sad. Ki atzvus he sitra achra. Atzvus, sadness, depression, is the Satan, literally. V'Hashem Yisporach Soinei Oiso, and Hashem hates it. Now here again, person wants to feel sorry for himself. You don't feel sorry for yourself by pulling out a 44 Magnum and aiming at Hashem and pulling the trigger, because the odds are very much that he's going to turn the barrel around on you and it's going to hit you right in the face in a way that Chas V'Shalom, the person could never recover. If Rabbeinu Zal is saying that Hashem says that this is something I hate, if you're in trouble, you certainly would not want to do something that Hashem hates. Therefore, for that reason alone, just avoid this item like the plague itself. Just stay away from it. And we reiterate that for a Breslov Chosid, or for a Jew, to ever dare use that word, I am sad, I am depressed, those words certainly have the same category of a four-letter word, a profanity. That's something that a Jew is not permitted to say those words. If he wants to say, I feel brokenhearted, I feel low, how can you prove what?
Someone will ask you, how is it one of the mitzvahs?
How is what one of the mitzvahs?
Yeah, Midoraisa.
You better believe it, baby, Midoraisa. You look at the Toichacha in Parshas Kisavoy, where Hashem presents a series of curses at the entire Jewish nation, and at the end of all of these curses, Hashem says, you want to know why all of these curses are going to come at you? Not because you didn't serve Hashem, that's not what it says, but because you didn't serve Hashem besimcha or betuv levav. This is chumash. This is not, naturally it's a chassidish sefer, the chumash, we all know that, but this is chumash, not Rashi, chumash. At the end of the Teichacha, a list of 98 curses, I believe it is, or something like that, Hashem says, you want to know in one word, in one sentence, why all of this is going to come at you? Because you didn't serve Hashem, and that's not what it says. That's not what it says. It doesn't say because you didn't serve Hashem. Because you didn't serve Hashem besimcha, with simcha. That's chumash. The Arizal was asked by his Talmidim, Rebbe, please tell us. We're living in a generation where there's a lot of big guns. There's a lot of big rabbonim, rabbis of the Shulchan Aruch, big tzaddikim, Talmidei Chachamim, and yet you seem to be in such a different class from them, like night and day. The Arizal was registered among the Tanoim and the Gemara. He learned privately with Elio Anovi. All of his Talmidim write, he had Gilui Elion, Reb Chaim Vital Zal testifies, Nagdoma to the Eitz Chaim. There's no question at all that he was one of the Tanoim. He had a status of a Tana and higher in many cases. He was given the most incredible treatment and welcome by the whole Pamalia Shamala, the Nevi'im, the others who revealed to him secrets that weren't made available to Tanoim and Amoroim in certain cases. His Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what's the Nekuda? What's the point? What's the distinguishing factor between you and everybody? His answer was not tzitzis, not tefillin, not mikvah, not Torah. His answer was simcha. That the distinguishing factor, what made me so unique, was that when I did a mitzvah, I did it with tremendous simcha. And it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. There are many, many psukim brought throughout the Torah stating this as a chiyuv kadosh. The Gemara says in Shabbos and in several other places that the Shechina never, ever rests on a person. Mitoich atzvos. When a person is depressed, you're rejecting the presence of Hashem inside of you, period. There's a lot to say about it.
I have two questions about the very last phrase that Rabbeinu Zal says. Says that you should know that as soon as a person enters into this category of trying to serve Hashem, then you should know immediately then the atzus is a dangerous thing. But then he doesn't go, it seems, to explain why at that point atzus is dangerous. He says,
the answer is you missed the beginning of the Torah. In the first sentence in the Torah, he said why then it's so bad an item. Because then I'm telling you up front that then they're going to make it look to you like they're pushing you away. And you're going to want to use that as an excuse to get depressed. And if I told you that this is what they're going to do to you, and it's not being done to reject you, it's a sign of love, heaven help you. If you turn a deaf ear to what I'm saying, and you go ahead because of your own stupidity or arrogance or whatever insanity that's inside of you, you say, tough, I'm going to get depressed. That's the punchline. Because we've just explained to you and shown to you that this is the way heaven deals. We're telling you the facts of life. This is the way it happens. When you begin, the first thing they show you is pushing you away. Smile, deicha. But actually, El ha'arofel asher sham ho'alikim, in the blackness, in the manias, you're going to find Hashem. And all of this is just a ruse, it's a mirage, there are reasons, there's pages, so much discussion as to why it has to be this way. For now, we're telling you that this is a fact. And warning, don't you dare take it the wrong way, because if you do, you're going to be insulting Hashem. And Hashem's going to take it personal. Hashem hates this. This is one thing that Hashem, one of those things that Hashem really hates. This word, Atzvus, Rahman al-Itzlan. Because it causes major, that mazik ma'oid. The Zohar HaKadosh says, what preceded the Mabul? Look through the whole Torah, the whole Chumash. You want to talk about destruction? Total wipeout. The one case in the history of the world where you had a real, beautiful, total wipeout was the Mabul. And what preceded, what brought about the Mabul? Vayis'atzev eliboy. Kaviyochel, Hashem got depressed, zap. The whole world went away, literally. That's the wording that's used. The Zohar Kodesh says, you want to know what Atzvus is? It's mazik ma'oid ma'oid. Can you get a better example than wiping out the entire world? Plants, trees, the birds, the bees, the whole bit. Everything gets zapped totally because vayisatzev eliboy, rachmon al-Itzlan. Atzvus, mazik ma'oid ma'oid. Nothing compares to the kind of destruction, rachmon al-Itzlan, that could cause.
Talk about it as if it was under somebody's, you know, like he said, oh, I'm going to be depressed here, you know, and most people, it just happens to.
That's definitely not true, based on Rabbi Nizal's teachings. Rabbi Nizal says, as we're going to learn soon, we're going to have more on that in a minute, we're not finished with this chapter yet, Rabbi Nizal says that the machshava of a person is in their mind, it is in their control. Your mind is like a horse with a set of reins on it, and the reins are in your hand. You definitely have the power to pull it in one direction or pull it in the other direction. And in the Shir Yedidus, one of the things that's mentioned in the song, talking about Rabbi Nizal, it's mentioned over there, one of the main things that Rabbi Nizal stresses to a person, don't be like the elephant who allows himself to be led around by the mouse. In other words, again, this is not something that I can tell you. Can I tell you whether you really have control or not? No. Rabbi Nizal can. Hashem can. The Torah can. Rabbi Nizal saying, I'm telling you, if you want, you'll be depressed. If you don't want, you won't be depressed. And in this chapter that we're about to learn now, Rabbi Nizal is going to give advice on how to deal with it. It's a cute thing to say without giving me any advice. In this Torah, we're going to end off with clear advice. Rabbi Nizal is going to say, and if you feel it coming, at times, you're even permitted to do A, B, C, D in order to keep it away. And if you'll do that, you will keep it away and everything will be cool. Now tell me you're not going to listen. You're not going to come back for the next year to hear what the A, B, and C, and D are going to be. And once you hear what the A, B, and C, and D are, then we've been given all the answers. Now we won't be able to say we don't know. We will know. He's going to explain clearly that it does happen, and when it happens, when it's so bad, do this and this. When it's worse, when it's at its worst, this is the only solution to it. And he's going to give you the solution even then. Halavai, we should be zeche to take Rabbi Nizal's advice very, very serious and to have emuna shlema betachlis in every word that Rabbi Nizal says, especially the hischaskus that Rabbi Nizal gives. We should learn it well and absorb it well and have it ready and available when we need it, because we know we're going to need it, all of us. Are going to go through ups and downs. All of us are going through, have been through, and are going to go through this Nichnas Bavodas Hashem. Hopefully we're going to start tonight. In 1 minute, we're going to make a new Aschola. We're going to want to enter into Avodas Hashem, and there's going to be this Yisrachkus. And we need to know how to deal with it the right way. Hashem should help. We should learn these words the right way, and by following the Eitzais HaKadoshes that are brought here, we should be zecher to bring about the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, b'mehera v'yamenu amen v'amen.
Mind with, like, they go for an hour or two, they feel like they're depressed, but afterwards, could it have just been a test to see if they'll get the symptoms for the rest of the day?
It's going to be in the next paragraph. going to talk about that exact situation. But there are times when they knock you down on purpose. It's just to see how you react. Go to a chiropractor, he hits you. Is he hitting you because he doesn't like you? No. He's testing your reaction. Kaviyocha. Huh? Kaviyocha. Hashem is giving you a patch. Not because I don't like you. I want to see how your knee is doing. Your knee is no good, jumping away. Your knee is good? Boy. This Torah is a big yisoy. I can tell you again, I first found out about Breslov when I was about 16 years old. And I remember I was introduced to all kinds of things. And I had the privilege of having a Rebbe and a friend, a very close friend at the time, who spent a lot of hours with me, learning Likutiman with me. And I remember learning this, and I remember living this. I remember going through all the past 12, 13 years. There have been so many ups and downs. On every Breslov Chassid, you could write encyclopedias on every day of his life. And believe me, what's written here is a reality. It's very real. It's very true. Ashrei to us if we're bizarre to take it seriously, and if we'll really put this to good use, we'll apply ourselves in tefillah. On this Torah, I was looking and preparing for the shiur at some of the Likutei Halachos here, and it's just spectacular. I mean, spectacular. Discussing the laws of Gittin and other things. Hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have some of it when we finish the Torah. We'll try to cover some of it just to show some of the proofs that he gives, to show how this applies to everyday life situations, etc. You know, he mentions, we'll just throw out one tiny thing. He mentions specifically the case, Rahman al-San, of cases where people are going to get divorced, and at the time that there's a medrash that says that. There's a pasuk in Hosea where it says a certain item that I hate you so much and therefore I love you. Pasuk in Hosea, something like that. So Rashi Kodesh says it's a mushal to a king who gets angry at his queen and he decides to divorce her. And he goes to the scribe and says, write up a divorce for me. And while he's there and while all the proceedings are going on, he has charata. Somebody's looking and he's getting a chance, you know, in the midst of this whole crisis, he's getting a chance to see, to take a look at the reality, and he has charota, but he paid the bill already. Like, he gave this sefer, you know, $6,000 to prepare a big get. Now, say, I want my money back, you're the king. You know, like, what do you do? Instead, he says, I want you to add $10,000 to her ksuba. I can't walk out of here having done nothing. I paid for something. So if I'm not going to write a divorce, add 10,000 to the ksuba, meaning that instead of the love getting decreased, it gets increased. You know, once there's a crisis, people go through a crisis, and they pull through from the crisis, what happens is it doesn't just remain status quo, the love doubles and triples. And that's one example of this hisrachus being tachlis askarvus, that sometimes there has to be a pirud between people for them to be able to get to know what the ahavu really is. And there's fantastic Likutei Halachos on this Torah. Hopefully we'll be able to learn. It's a shame.